God is good all the time. He's having a wonderful time being with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of James, chapter 1. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just magnify your name today. We ask you to minister to us by your word, and thank you for your spirit. Thank you because your spirit dwells in us. When the word is preached, we receive revelation and wisdom. Each one of us receives the wisdom that we need because of your word, because of your promise. We thank you that we no longer live in the world, and we're no longer of the world, but though we live in it. We're no longer of the world. We're changed people. We're transformed. We're being constantly transformed from one degree of glory to the next. And Father, we believe that what you began, you will finish. And Father, we're trusting you to do that. Father, we just daily want to commit ourselves into your care so that we don't forget who we are, so that we don't forget what we are, that we've been made brand new, that even as Galatians says that we're a new, or as Corinthians says, we're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Father, we give you glory and thanks and praise for it. We're a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm a new creation. I'm new. I'm not what I was before. And we thank you for it and we praise you for it in the name of Jesus. Thank you for letting us see what you have created. Thank you that the fruit is not fruit of us, like a dead branch laying on the ground producing fruit. But the fruit comes because we're plugged in. We are engrafted into the vine. That's the only way anything living comes out. So we give you glory and praise for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hallelujah. You know, as you know, is that we are brand new. We're brand new creations. Even today, you're a brand new creation. You know, well, I've been born again for 15, 25, 35 years. You're a brand new creation. Every time you wake up, you open your eyes, you're a new creation. Amen? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Because you have to know every day that old things have passed away because they keep cropping up, don't they? Huh? You ever notice that old things tend to still crop up? Old issues, they still seem to crop up. Maybe they're not old issues in you. Maybe they're just old issues in your family or in your life. Most of the time, you will run across one or the other. And usually, what will happen is somebody in your life, whether it's your family, your friends, or your co-workers or church members or something, will stir something up in you. I thought that was over. I thought that was gone. Well, nobody pulled the scab off recently. Sorry. But typically, that's what happens because the enemy just loves to let things just kind of heal over, and then he'll just come over and just kind of peel it off and see how you respond. Amen. The thing is that you respond because as you're daily thanking God and walking with him and knowing, realizing that you're a new creation every single day. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. I wake up and knowing that I'm a new creation. I wake up knowing that all things have been made new. Amen? And the enemy will try to give you something. He'll try to give you some bad news or something. But it's incumbent upon you to reject it. Amen? Just because God has said he has given you new life. So I'm enjoying that. Amen? And see, that's the only way you can become an effective minister, which is everybody. And it's, well, I'm not a minister. I just go to work every day. No, you're a minister of the gospel. Otherwise, you might as well just be gone to heaven. Amen? I mean, it's not necessary for you to be here. You might as well just go and, you know, lay to rest and, you know. But you're a minister of the gospel. That's who you are. That's what you are. You prepared for that? Huh? Say, yes, I am. Well, very good. I'm glad y'all said that. Yeah, you're a minister of the gospel. You're prepared for that. Everybody who receives Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ to the people around them. Amen? No matter who you are, no matter what you're doing. Amen? Even if you just got your family around you, you're Jesus. All of a sudden, you know, you're Jesus. You know, Angie, everything she writes, because she's Jesus to everybody. It's not because she's doing that because, well, I got to be like Jesus. No, it's just who she is, right? It's just who she is. You know, Daniel, it's who he is. David, it's who he is. Greg, all your kids are now Jesus. Isn't that good? Amen. No worries. Praise the Lord. That's it. So it's powerful. It's powerful. Because you cannot sit and think that, well, I'm just going to make it till retirement, or I'm going to make it till, you know, one thing or the other. It's daily I wake up, I'm a new creation. I am born of God, and I'm used of God to declare and to be a demonstration, to be a witness. Amen. Not be a witness. Come on, get it going. No, as you worship Him, as you spend time in His presence, that's just what you are. Amen? When Moses was up on the mountaintop, his face started to glow. His face started to shine. So if you're in the presence of God, your face just shines. And when you walk in, people go, what's that? All of a sudden, the light in the room changed. Things change when you walk in the room. Do you believe that? I believe that. I know when I walk in the room, things change. But it has nothing to do with me. It's just who's on the inside of me. Amen? And it's not because I did a good job getting him in there. I didn't polish him up real good to make him look good. No, in fact, I died. I'm just dead. There's nothing in me. I don't have anything. Amen? Hallelujah. James. Anybody who knows who James is? Not Pastor Jim. James. James is the brother of Jesus. James is one of the, you know, when Jesus, his mother and his brethren came in and said, they want to see you. And Jesus says, who are my brothers? Who is my mother? That's the bunch that came, and James was his half-brother. Now, of course, he's his half-brother because God was Jesus' father. And Joseph was James' father, you see. So James was the half-brother of Jesus. And they were just, early on, they were just kind of like, we're not sure about this Jesus. We didn't know what happened to that first child. He's just a little odd, you know. And, Mary knew, and James, Joseph knew, but I'm sure the kids were like, what's he doing? And James came to know the Lord. James came to know the Lord after his resurrection as a believer, after the Lord's resurrection. And he became a believer, and he became an elder in the church. And we find him enumerated in several passages. Most notably is the one where in Acts chapter 15, where James stands up and declares, okay, here's what we're going to do. When the argument came up between those who were preaching that you had to do the law, and Paul and Barnabas had come in and said, man, we're not even talking about that. We're not even talking about law. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus, and that he comes in and he totally saves you without the works of the law. And so James is obviously an honored and respected teacher and elder in the church at Jerusalem. And then we also hear from him in a few other passages. So that's who James is. James is the brother of Jesus and an elder in the church at Jerusalem. So he writes this book. And James, the book that he writes, is a practical book. It's a practical book. But many people take the book of James and say, well, he's kind of putting law on me. No. James is not putting law on you. He's just telling you what the law produces, what the believing in Christ produces. The book of James is by and large, like I've mentioned before, if you look at the end of Paul's epistles, first of all, he tells you who you are. And at the end of about the last two chapters, he says, this is what happens. Therefore, this is how it produces. Most people preach out of the end of most of the epistles with the therefore, and they just tell you, okay, here's what you're supposed to be doing. But they don't go back to the beginning of Philippians, the beginning of Colossians, the beginning of Philippians. They don't go and Thessalonians. They don't go back to the beginning of those books, which tells you, here's what Christ Jesus did in you, through you, for you, and therefore, here's the produce. Here's what the gospel produces. Here's what those who believe that they have been born from above produce. And here James is doing that, and he's telling you what it is to be a believer, what it looks like to be a believer. Not what you get out there and work up in your own strength, but what Jesus does, and so that you'll begin to remember these things. So look at James chapter 1. It says, James, a servant of God. This is how he begins his letter. You put the salutation at the end. James, a servant of God, at the beginning, and rather than signing it, sincerely James, you tell at the beginning of the letter who's writing. Hi, James here. A servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. So most of this book is also written to the audience for the book is to the 12 tribes. Is to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's the audience for the book. Doesn't mean that we don't receive the portion that is talking to a believer, but he's talking specifically to the 12 tribes who are born from above, who have come into the kingdom of God by Christ Jesus. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, all kinds of trouble. Amen? So look at that first. That's a terrible beginning. I mean, it's like, how are y'all, grace and peace? You know, he didn't say grace and peace. He didn't give you grace and peace. He just said, hey, y'all, count it all joy when you fall into diverse, different kinds of temptations. Doesn't mean temptations when you're diving. Means different kinds of temptations. All kinds of temptations. Don't count it all joy. Everybody say hallelujah. Anybody had a temptation or a trial or a test? Anybody who has not? Okay, we have no liars here this morning. That's good. All right, so count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. How many do that? Amen. Say, I do. I do. Hallelujah. Now, whether you do or not, well, that's between you and the Lord. But I'm just commenting that count it all joy. And then say you do. I'm not telling you to lie. What I'm telling you is speak by faith. Amen? Speak by faith. Hallelujah. Because when that trial, you begin speaking that by faith. I count it all joy every time a trial comes. Hallelujah. And then the trial comes, and first of all, it kind of blows you back, and you forgot that part. You forgot to count it all joy. But then you just keep walking, and you begin to just daily continue to make these, declare these things. You know, Abraham didn't have a baby for many, many years, but he kept declaring those things, speaking those things that were not as though they were. Amen? Well, I'm not there yet. Well, that's not what you... Don't say that, silly. You know, say, yeah, I count it all joy. Every time a trial comes, I do. Will you say that? Will you commit to say that? Next time a trial comes, I just want you to say that all week long. Is that, you know, I just count it all joy because of this trial. Well, I'd be lying. No, you wouldn't. You'd be walking by faith. Amen? You learn how by doing. You learn how to trust the Lord by walking in Him and saying what He says. Amen? I count it all joy every time a trial comes. Amen? And Norman does. I know that. I just, you know, because not because I watch him. Not because I look at him. It's It's because I know he is filled with God's Word and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Things are changing around here. So my brethren and sistern, count it all joy when you fall into different kinds of trouble. Now look at what Jesus said in John 16:33. He says, "You have." World, where do you have temptation? In the world. Well, where are you? Where do you find yourself? I find myself in the world. But be of good cheer. Cheer up. I, Jesus, have overcome the world that you're in which a tribulation just came and got on you. Be of good cheer. I have overcome that world. That's good. That's good news. So, Jesus has overcome the world that my temptation came from, even though it approached me. So that's why James says that I can count it all joy, because Jesus already did. Cheer up! Cheer up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, Paul's talking about, you know, what we know about the thorn. Ooh, the thorn. He says, "I will rather glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I just tried to whistle just there. I can't whistle anymore. There it is. Yeah, Esther got my whistle. Yeah, you did. You took it. Okay. "I will glory in infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Next verse, he says, "Therefore I take pleasure..." Ooh. "I take pleasure in infirmities, when I am, for then when I am weak, then am I strong." It said there, when I am weak, then, as I rejoice in the infirmities, then am I, not he. It's not like Jesus loves me, they are weak, but he is strong. It says, you know, "For when I am weak, then am I." It's the I, strong. Because you are in him, you're rejoicing in the tribulation, in the trouble, in the infirmity. Amen? Jesus did that. He's on the cross. He says, "Father, forgive them. Well, they don't know what they're doing." He knew what's coming. You know, I mean, if there's no mercy on these guys, they are in big, big trouble. But Jesus said, "Lay not the sin to their charge. Forgive them. Just Father, just this big thing that's going on that they're doing, and they just killed your son. Now, just write that off. Just put that off. Put that on me. Put that on my tab." So he said. So he was rejoicing in the middle of it. He said, "No, it's okay." Then you know, he talked about it during the dinner. You know, right about the same time, he said, "Be of good cheer." He says that my joy might be in you. So his joy is in me. Amen? If he did all this so that his joy might be in me, then he completed it, so it's done. Amen? His joy is in me. You know? Kick up your heels. His joy is in me. Is his joy in you? Say yes. And but when I'm gone, see, this is going to be like Peter. You know, because I can say this while I'm standing up here, and you can say yes, amen, and yahoo, and hallelujah, but then you go home, and then you have a trial or tribulation, and you go, rah, 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 grumble, grumble. You know, but see, you know, later on we'll find out how, you know, remember how Peter says, "As long as I'm in this body, I'm going to keep telling you the same thing, so that when I'm dead, you'll have the same thing. You'll know and be taught, you know, what I taught you." Amen? So that you have all these things in your remembrance. All right, let's look here. So I'm going to read verse 2 again and we'll move on. He says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Knowing this, everybody say, knowing this. Thank you, Greg. Say, knowing this. Oh, come on, folks. It's a teaching tool. Knowing this. Thank you. That's good. I'll try not to do that very often. Knowing this, so what does that mean? You know this. He's basically imparting it to you, implying to you that you know this. He's telling you already, you know this. So you're going to rejoice in tribulations knowing this, because the trying of your faith works patience. Well, I need that. Amen. In other words, that's long suffering. That is causing you to be able to stand, having done all to stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth over there in Ephesians. Amen. Having done all to stand forth, therefore, having the loins girt about with truth, putting on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. Amen. All right. So knowing this, so you can kind of get all joy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at that. Amen. Here's some bad news. You know what? Bad news to me doesn't throw me. Amen. Paul said none of these things moves me. All these perils, you know, trials, troubles, all of these things, none of these things moves me. I'm steadfast, immovable. Amen. Steadfast, immovable. You can't stop me. You can't blow me over. Put me in the hurricane, I'll be fine. Amen. I mean, you live in a hurricane, don't you? Amen. Welcome to the hurricane. Welcome to living in the world. But you are steadfast because you're a man or woman of God. And He has planted you. You are engrafted into the vine. So knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience, verse 4, have her perfect work. Don't try to get up off the operating table. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting, lacking nothing. Amen? Oh, I'm getting out. I'm running away from this as fast as possible. You know, I'm getting out of here. You know, somebody's trying to get you. So, when you're in the midst of a trial, first of all, begin to rejoice. First of all, begin to rejoice. Doesn't mean you can't get a fire extinguisher and put out the fire. Doesn't mean that. What it does mean is don't let your emotions and your fears get hold of you. Your joy is what guides you. Your joy is what leads you. Amen? If you lack wisdom, now here it is, same thing, same story. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. Everybody. So God's giving you wisdom. Well, I don't know if I ain't got any yet. No. Just get up. Get up, begin to move. God is going to give you wisdom. God will send somebody. But He tells you to do what? Ask. Said, if any of you lack wisdom, you have got kind of at the moment, you've got this thing going on and you lack wisdom, He said, ask of God. And the promise is right here in the verse. He says, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. What does that mean? Means He doesn't beat you up for asking. He doesn't chew you out because you didn't know. Amen? Well, should have known better. No, He doesn't say that. He says, the reason I'm saying that is because He says it right here. He says it in this verse right here. So, let him ask of God, if any of you lack wisdom, and God gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, He doesn't chew you out, and it shall be given to you. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. You have a promise. Now, you're going to have to build up that promise ahead of time, typically. Amen? It's better to learn how to swim when you fall in than to have learned how to swim when you fall in the drink than it is to try to learn after you fall in. Amen. It's good to know how to trust God ahead of time. It's good to know how to trust God ahead of time. So the best way to trust God ahead of time is get into His Word, worship, and give thanks and praise to Him daily. Spend time in His presence. Spend time in His presence. Spend time rejoicing. Spend time rejoicing. I'll tell you what, the best thing I've found is to rejoice in tribulations. Amen? Best thing I've found is to rejoice in tribulations. That is, certainly to not complain, but to thank God. Yeah, because, I mean, you live in the world. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. You live here. If you're going to keep breathing here, you're going to have tribulations. Now, we could fix that. You know, you could go on, you know. I don't know if the church has a ministry for that. You know, sending you on to heaven, you know, if you would like to move on. But the problem is if you're going to live here, you're going to have trouble. And so if you're going to live here and have trouble, then it's incumbent upon you as a believer in Christ Jesus to grow. If you're going to grow, you're going to rejoice in your trouble, in the tribulation. Even if it's something that's close, even if it's something that's maybe, you know, in your family and that's troublesome, you're going to rejoice in it. And you get, meaning, you say, thank you, Lord, that you're ministering in my family. It, you know, I don't have any trouble, you know. I'll walk past this like I walk through everything else, with joy and thanksgiving in the presence of God. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. And people look at you and go, you know, I've got a son who's got two granddaughters who have some physical challenges right now. We're believing God in various ways and thanking God for blessing them and for restoring those girls to wholeness and fullness. They're not there yet. And so we're just rejoicing and giving thanks to that, to God daily. You know, we don't look at that circumstance and situation and just say, well, golly, God just didn't come through for us. You know, how come there's so many things that are just going wrong? Well, because you live in this world, that's why. Well, so-and-so didn't have that. You don't know what so-and-so had. You don't know what they got going on. Yeah, on the outward, you may look at them and, you know, maybe everything looks wonderful. Maybe it might be wonderful. And then, you know, then you look at your sad sack life. Well, my life isn't like theirs. How come, you know? You ever find that happens? Is that you just kind of complain about what you got, your lot in life? Let's just thank God. You don't get to fix this. Here's what you get to do. Is you get to receive Jesus. You were born into a fallen world. You were born into a troubled world. You know, the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You know, why did those people, you know, get it down in Houston? You know, why did those people get it in Louisiana? Somebody's going to say, well, because they built too close to the coast. You know. Well, you don't know anything. You know, yes, I do. See, that's your problem. You know everything. Amen? Anybody ever figured that out? You know everything, and you know enough to complain about, you know, your problems and everybody else's. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know God's good because yes, He says He is, and I don't get to choose because He's God and I'm not. He created the world. I didn't. He put breath in me. I didn't. Huh? You know, people want to complain about everything. You know, why don't you just rejoice and give thanks to God? I mean, otherwise you're just going to be miserable, live a miserable life. Huh? I'm serious. You're just going to live a miserable life. Nobody want to be around you. I don't have any friends. Well, because you complain all the time. You know, you got everything going wrong in your life. You know, it's better to go ahead and rejoice and give thanks to God and just daily, just, you know, God's everything's going my way. Well, people look at you and think you're lying, but that's okay. Or you're just weird. Well, and that's pretty true. Because you're not from this world. Okay, verse 6, it says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. For he that wavers, talk about asking for wisdom, he that wavers is like a wave of the sea. Isn't that funny? Waver is like a wave of the sea. Driven with the wind and tossed. So if you're wavering, that's what you are. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So we're thanking God because we know that He has supplied us with salvation in Christ Jesus, where we have no fear of the future. We, in fact, have confidence that what He promised, He's able to perform. There's nothing... If He says, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? So when you get Jesus, you get everything else. When Jesus gets you in your boat, you're at the land. Jesus, when He first told him to get in the boat, He said, let's go to the other side. Guess what? They went to the other side. Now there was a little wind in the middle. There was a little thing in the middle. And sometimes He just doesn't tell you about the stuff that's coming on. He just told you to get in the boat. Yeah, just marry her. Go ahead. You didn't tell me about the other part. Didn't tell me about the kids we were going to have. Didn't tell me about the job. This job was going to be what it was. You know, didn't tell me that church was going to be like it was. Well, God doesn't tell you everything. Amen? It's probably better that He doesn't. Then you would try to fix it. So He says, let him ask in faith. How do you do that? Daily wake up, giving glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, I thank you that daily is my, every day I wake up to thank you for all of my blessings, all of your presence in my life. Amen. Daily. Daily can be boring, can't it? Huh? I mean, daily can be, you know, you just don't know what. Something, it seems like this takes a long time. Can you imagine Abraham waiting for that baby? Man, I'm going to give you a baby. You'll be father of many nations. 25 years later. You know, and nothing even close. And he even tried to help him out and it didn't work out. You know, because it wasn't God's baby. It wasn't God. And so, you know, and then he ended up with, Ishmael and all the rest of that. You know, and then you and I get to deal with that. You know, it's kind of like we get to deal with Adam, and then we get to deal with Noah, and then we get to deal with Abraham, you know. I mean, why couldn't those guys do it right? Now, if it had been me, we'd been a lot worse off. I'm sure you agree. Hey, thank you for that. So a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So he's just telling you that, you know, if you'll believe me and you'll just trust me, everything will be fine. And if not, you'll probably fall out of the boat. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So it's important to not be double-minded. It's important to just rejoice and don't look behind you. Don't look to the left or to the right. You remember when Peter was going out there, he said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come to you in the water. Jesus said, come ahead. So I hear Peter steps down out of the boat and the rest of them are looking at him like, you're an idiot. But Jesus knew who he was talking to. He said, Peter. Peter's going to do this. He will do it. So Peter steps down out of the boat, walks to Jesus, and then he began to see. He began to look to the left, look to the right. Then he saw the waves boisterous, the wind. And he began to what? Sink. Right? Because he became double-minded. You know, he was looking at Jesus. He was, you know, as long as I'm looking at Dave, I know I can head straight back there, but then I might get distracted, come over here and see Esther, you know, might get over here and see Russ, you know, I might get just distracted, you know. But see, I'm going to head straight back, and if I keep my eye right there, I'm going to get there. But when Peter saw the wind boisterous and the waves, and he became double-minded. I might never get back to Dave, you know. God told me to go bless him, and then I got distracted by you other people, you know, and I became double-minded and triple-minded, and just everything, you know, Dave never got blessed because I didn't make it. And so he says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So double-minded means not keeping your eye on Jesus. Amen? And keeping your eye on Jesus is no more than rejoicing and thanking God. Amen? Hallelujah. This is so much fun. Hallelujah. I'm having a good time. Hallelujah. All right, now, let the brother of low degree, anybody here of low degree? Feeling like you're of low degree? I'm kind of low today. Or you feel like you're kind of not as good as the rest of them somehow? Rejoice in that he is exalted. I'm everything everybody else is. Glory to God. I'm in every place like everybody else. There's nothing. I didn't get second best from anything. You believe that? Well, no. I kind of believe I got second best. You know. I mean, I could have been 6 foot. I'm not. I'm not close. I can't even hardly see over this pulpit. First of all, they can't see me either. Let the brother of low degree rejoice, and then he is exalted. That's me. Praise the Lord. I'm exalted. But the rich, in that he is made low. So you, all you tall people, rejoice when you're put down. Oboe. Praise the Lord. But the rich, okay, so the let the brother of low, what's the key word in both of those verses 9 and 10? Rejoice. So let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, and the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. But the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withers the grass, and the flower thereof falls, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also the rich man fades away in his ways. So all the glory that the rich man may have, is it's just temporal. Amen? It just goes away with his world. Verse 12, blessed is the man, happy is the man that endures temptation. Well, we're back to this temptation thing. Blessed is the man that endures the temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. Well, of course not. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. So God's not bringing your temptations. Amen? Oh, God, here comes God tempting me again. You give me a test, like Janet at school. Give me a test, see if she can make me fail. You know, people think God wants to make them fail. You ever notice that? You ever heard that? God, you ever felt that? Felt like that? God, you know, I mean, not since you got matured. But, you know. Is that, you know, people think God, really, people think God gives them a test so they'll fail, so he'll keep them humble. God's not interested in having you fail a test. What he's interested in is having you grow and having you become a man or woman of God and have you rejoice in temptations, rejoice in trouble. Amen? Yes. So let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted by God. You know, God, you're putting this thing on God. You live in a world that's full of trouble. Jesus already told you. He said, in the world you're going to have trouble. It just comes along with it. Amen? He didn't say God brought the tornado and God brought the hurricane. And, you know. All right? So he says, but every man is tempted. And the problem is he couldn't put it on you. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own personal selfish desires to meet his own needs rather than let God meet his needs. You know, the problem is that you don't trust God. Your lust is born of the fact that you don't trust God to meet all your needs. Isn't that right? So I've got to meet my own needs, glory to God. You know, he's too slow. Well, it's like Abraham. What'd he do? He just went out and God made him a son himself. God's just too slow. And, you know, Sarah says, hey, you know, take this gal. Let's get this son thing going. I mean, you know, you ain't getting any younger. And, you know. And I'm too old to care. So, you know, we figure, so Sarah was kind of like, okay, we're going to have this son thing and it's going to be a good deal because we've been blessed up to now anyway. You know, if Abraham had quit lying about me, you know, she says, But she knows that God's good, but she's just going to help him out. So, but it didn't quite work out. And so, you know, she liked being blessed. So she figured, well, we get a son, and it would be the big blessing. And, you know, and because having kids was a big deal, you know. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Boy, if we can just get one. We can just get one, you know, maybe it'll start rolling. Maybe this thing will start going. She's kind of like selling the first iPhone. You know, if you can get one going, maybe you can get the thing popular. All right. But he says, then when lust has conceived, you know, every man's tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. So you want to make things happen. That's what you want to do. You want to make things happen and be, you know, be blessed and all of that. And so we're drawn away. Drawn away. So we're drawn away. We're drawn away from what? Drawn away from God. Drawn away from His provision. Drawn away from what He promised. You know, we're going to make our own way. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. You know, it's like that young man, you know, in the prodigal son. I mean, he went out and just took all the money and just ran off. And I mean, he was a mess. He was in trouble. You know, but he remembered. Ah, remember? He remembered all of a sudden, hey, my father's house, it's got everything over there. I'll just go back and got to humble myself. But then when he went back, the father said, hey, come in. He didn't even listen to his speech. Father, I've sinned before you and heaven and God. And, you know, he said, keep quiet. Kill the fatted calf. Yeah, he was just glad to have his son back. Amen. He's just glad to have you. He is just glad to have you. He's not. He just knows that what's happening is this lust thing. You not trust in him because you don't see it from the beginning. You just know. You just trying to make it happen on your own. But God said, trust me. Amen? So He wants you to trust Him. Because when you trust Him, He's going to bring it to pass. And the other part of that is when diverse temptations come in, you will trust Him and quit trying to fix it in a manner that is not prescribed by Him. You got to have wisdom. You got to know. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. So God is giving you wisdom. So when you walk into trouble, you ask for wisdom, and you thank Him, and you rejoice. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So don't complain, don't yell, don't cry, don't swear. You know, but rejoice. Give thanks. Well, let your first move be peace. Let your first move in a tribulation be peace, rest, thanking Him. Father, thank You that You've done everything in the past and You'll do it again. You've never forsaken me and You never will forsake me. I'm always on top. I'm always blessed. There's never a time that I'm not blessed. What You've promised, You're able to perform, and I'm believing You for it. So verse 16, it says, do not err or do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Do not be deceived. So God's not tempting you. God's not bringing the tribulation. You're in the world. You receive tribulations come. Just rejoice in it. Thank God for it. Thank God in the middle of it. Thank God in the middle of it. And the fact is that you're growing. Let patience have it. Go back to verse 2 and 3. But let 3 and 4. Let patience have her perfect work. See, it's doing something on the inside of you as well. Let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Let's look at verse 17. For every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. He's good. Of His own will He fathered us with the word of truth, James says, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. Wherefore, for that reason, listen, okay, so He fathered you with the word of truth. You are born of the word. You were born of the word of truth, that if any man believes in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That you should be a kind of first fruits of his creation. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, and I love the King James here, superfluity of naughtiness. Excess ungodliness. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and excess ungodliness, excess evil, and receive with meekness under authority. You're under authority. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. He's going to begin to talk about where you get that engrafted word. So, but begin those verse 19 and 20. He says, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. God must know you. Slow to speak and slow to wrath. You know anybody who, when trouble comes, they just all of a sudden they're just on top of it. I mean, I know a lot of people like that in politics. A lot of Christians in politics, but I tell you what, they cannot distinguish. They cannot separate their politics from walking in love. They can't. They're just upset, and they're going to be upset at Congressman so-and-so or so-and-so-and-so, you know, and just, I mean, people just get way, you know, unwieldy. It says, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. So you lay aside all of that and receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Okay, so you receive the engrafted word. What's the engrafted word? Is when you're meditating upon God's word. You're meditating upon his promise. You're meditating upon his finished work. That's the engrafted word. The word that is able to save your soul is the word that you meditate upon. The word that when trouble comes, you meditate on that word rather than the trouble. Most people, they meditate upon the trouble. And they don't meditate upon the promise. Amen? So if you meditate upon God's promise rather than on the trouble, that's the engrafted word. That's saving your soul. How you say? How are you saved in that way? Line upon line. Precept upon... Isaiah 28 said, the word of God was to me. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. New Testament says you're growing by from glory to glory, from faith to faith. First the corn, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. This is how you grow. Amen? You grow little by little, day by day. So receive with meekness, that is, under authority, as if you're not in charge. The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like to a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholds himself, this is the guy who is a hearer and not a doer. For he beholds himself in the mirror, and goes his way, and immediately forgets what he looked like. You forget who you are. Somebody who's a hearer and not a doer. For he beholds himself, and he goes his way, and immediately, oh, they're looking good this morning. Praise the Lord. Looks nice. Hair's done. Mustache is trimmed. Well, I used to say that. Everything looks good. You know, tie straight. You know, look good. And then you walk away, and you just... step in a big puddle of mud walking out the door, and you never paid attention. Didn't know what you looked like. People see you and say, what happened to him? Okay, and immediately he forgets what manner of man he was. However, verse 25 says, but whoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's the same, the glass, the mirror, the word of God, who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, and being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, you don't forget who you are. You don't forget what you've looked like. If any man among you seems to be religious, and yet his tongue is not bridled, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. A lot of people stop there. Yeah, pure religion is to go visit the orphans and the widows. And no, you need to read the rest of it. It says, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Oh, didn't read that part. Now, all of this, beginning in verse 21, and then going to especially verse 21 and 22, talking about being a doer of the word. A doer of the word is somebody with the engrafted word that is able to save your souls. The doer of the word is the word does in you. Okay? I said the word does in you. The word does. It's not you that does, it's the word that does. So the word is able to. What does it say in the verse before? Verse 21? What's the end of that verse say? The engrafted word, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able. So what's able to save your soul? You being a doer or the engrafted word? The engrafting of the word. It's the engrafting of the word. The word does the work. And the recognition of whether or not the word is engrafted or not is evident upon whether or not you remembered who you were. How does the day turn out? So the issue is, you go back to the word. If you find that you're not walking in joy, if you find that you're not a doer of the word and a doer of the work, you go back to the word and bring and get more engrafting. Amen? Huh? Well, I need to do that better next time. No. No. You don't need to do that better next time. You can't do it anyway. You just forgot who you were. You need to go back to the word. Remember who you are. You forgot who you were. That's the reason the thing ain't working. Amen? Amen. If you know who you are, then the thing is working. If you forget who you are, you can't fix it. You can't fix it. The doer of the work is not the fact that you're doing the work. The doer of the work is the fact that you are engrafted. And the word is engrafted in you. And you have received it. Meekness is not, I'll do better. Meekness is, I can't do it. And God, thank you that you're doing it. Amen? So let's read the rest of it again. See, Paul, people like to make James out to be a legalist. Well, get on, do it, just do it. No, right here, he says, the engrafted word is able to save your soul. Your soul needs a saving. Huh? Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, how you respond to this world, how you respond to trouble, how you respond to difficulties, how you respond to trouble and tribulation, has to do with the engrafted word. How the disciples in the boat responded to the storm. Well, Jesus is in your boat. He even said it later. He said, I was in your boat. What did you think was going to happen? Jesus, don't you care that we're dying? Well, hadn't I already talked about that? Well, see, they didn't remember. They didn't have the word engrafted. They just kind of went over their heads. I hope this is helping. Amen. I hope this is helping because you know, so many folks. I mean, they're just a matter of you know, well, I'm doing my best, Pastor. No, stop. Stop doing your best. And stop believing that God's trying to get you to do something. Amen? He just wants to do it in you. He wants to move in, move all the furniture. What was that story? Somebody told me something. There was a great story about a guy who let Jesus in. And when he let Jesus in, he had a bedroom for him up on the third floor. Y'all know this story. I'm sure somebody's told it to you. And every time he came in, and then Jesus, he'd tell Jesus, you can go up on the third floor and have that. I have this lovely little room for you. It's all fixed up, all real nice. And then that night, the devil came in. The devil came to the door, knocked on the door, came in, beat the guy up, just all on the first floor. And said, Jesus came down in the morning, gets a cup of coffee. Good morning. Hi, how was your night? Well, it was terrible. The devil came in and beat me up. Well, Jesus is in the third floor. He's up there on the third floor. You know, he's not engrafting Jesus. He's not having Jesus live on the first floor with him. He's putting Jesus up on the third floor. See, Jesus needs to live with you. Amen? He needs to live with you. So finally, Jesus is down on the couch in the, down here downstairs, and the devil knocks on the door. Jesus looks at the guy. The guy looks at Jesus and says, you want me to get this? It's okay. He said, yeah. So Jesus opens the door, and the devil says, wrong house. Because who showed up at the door? See, well, the devil loves to get you when you show up at the door. But when Jesus shows up at the door, that's the engrafted word. When you show up at the door. This is your house. And Jesus, and when somebody knocks, Jesus shows up at the door. I wish I could remember where that story came from. I only remembered about half of it. It's a great one. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, as you know, I'm going to preach these things to you till I'm dead. So that after I'm dead, after my decease, you'll have these things always in your remembrance. Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. The engrafted word is able to save your soul, not you. Amen. Father, we just magnify you and thank you for your word today. Thank you for the power that's in it, that's changing us and transforming us. Daily we're rejoicing, daily we're singing, daily we're not grumpy and grumbly. And Lord God, thank you that you've forgiven us of all of these things. And Father, we just rejoice in it and love you and praise you for all of your mercies. And we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.